Good morning and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church from wherever you are joining us this morning. We're grateful to have you with us. A few announcements before we begin our time of worship today. First, a reminder, a weekly Bible study continues. We are working our way through the Gospel of Mark via Zoom meetings. So if you want to participate in that, please keep your eyes open for your weekly news blast email, which includes that information, or reach out to the office or myself and say, hey, can I get that information? And that way you can join in the Bible study. As well, please note that our weekly meal distribution continues on Wednesdays from 5:30 until 6:30. We ask that if you are here early, you don't wait in the parking lot, but that you wait in one of our other additional parking lots so that we don't back up into Center Road. That way we don't cause any traffic issues, don't have any potential accidents happen, but also please note we've had plenty of food for everyone every week. You don't need to be the first person in line. So please don't, show up at 5 o'clock and sit outside the door waiting. That would help all of us and be good for everyone's safety. Finally, a big thank you to everyone who came for drive-through communion last week. It went very well, and I'm really glad that so many of you took opportunity to check in with me and to check in with God and come by the church and partake in the sacrament of communion. Now, let us center ourselves, our hearts, our souls, and our minds as we prepare for our time of worship and listen to our prelude. join me in our call to worship. What offering do we need to bring to God? God does not look for sacrifices or offerings, but for open ears, like channels for the truth. Grand gestures and offerings are not required, but a heartfelt delight in doing the will of God. My friends, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God has put a new song in my mouth, placed a new melody on my tongue. The love of Jesus, the Lamb of God, be with you always, and also with you. Amen. Gather in prayer, let us join in our unison prayer. O God, our guide and help in alien and contentious places, as Esther prayed faithfully and worked courageously for the deliverance of your people, strengthen us to confront the oppressor and free the oppressed, so that all may know the justice and unity of your realm. Amen. Now let us have a moment of silent prayer and reflection. Lord, we gather today to pray wherever we are. Right now, I'm up here on Lake Erie, but you are with us wherever we find ourselves. and with whomever we pray for. We lift up prayers for Pat and Scott Fisher, for Rocky, and for my grandma and the rest of my family at the passing of my grandfather, Richard. We ask that you would be with all who need you, and that you would find us wherever we may be, and that the waters of your mercy will continue to flow and pour out amongst us, just as your Son walked amongst us. And so we pray the prayer that he taught as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen.
Good morning and welcome back to Children's Message. I miss all of you and I hope you are healthy and happy with your family or whoever you are with. So today I want to tell you a little story. God's purpose for each of us is to glorify him and enjoy him forever. He has given us gifts or talents that we can use to help others see that God exists and wants them to be a part of his family. Sometimes we know what our gifts and talents are and how God wants us to use them, and other times we may not know what our gifts or purpose in this life is. Our lives are like this unopened present. You won't know what it is until you open it up. God's gift and what he wants us to do are revealed to us in his own way. And this brings me to tell you about a person named Esther. Now, Esther lived with her uncle because her parents had died, and her cousin Mordecai raised her as if she was his own daughter. Esther and her family were Jewish. One day, the king's men came and took all the pretty girls because the king wanted a new wife. Well, Esther was one of the girls. Now, the king liked Esther, and he made Esther his queen. Now, her cousin Mordecai told her not to tell anyone she was Jewish. Mordecai went every day to the king's courtyard just to find out how Esther was doing. And one day he heard two door chamberlains plotting to kill the king. He told Esther, and Esther told the king what Mordecai heard. The king had them killed, and he wrote down in the Book of Chronicles about Mordecai saving him. Now there was a man also called Haman, who was like the king's second in command, and he hated Mordecai because every time he would go by him, he would not bow down to him. So Haman told the king that there were Jews that didn't follow his rules and laws, and that he thought that they should be killed. Well, sorry to say that the king agreed, and he wrote an edict that all the Jews were going to be killed on a certain day. Children, babies, all Jewish people. Well, Mordecai heard this. He was just so upset. He just cried and talked, and finally he went and sent a message to Esther, because he really couldn't see her, that she should go to the king and get him to change the edict. But Esther sent a message back. You just didn't go see the king. If you went before the king and you weren't invited, you would be killed instantly. And she knew she could be killed instantly. Unless he held out his scepter to them, then you could talk. So she sent that message back to Mordecai and told him she just couldn't do it. She would be killed. But Mordecai sent a message back. He said, who knows but that you have come to your position for a time of this. What he meant was that maybe that was God's gift to her, that she was going to be able to save the Jewish people, that she just had to do it. He said, if you don't do this, all your family, your people, and yourself will be killed. And I'm sorry to say, you will have to listen to another children's Bible lesson to find out how Esther saved her people. So now let us pray. Thank you for brave people who spread your word, and thank you for all the heroes of today. Thank you for your protection against evil. Amen.
Our first lesson this morning comes from Esther chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 and 12 through 15. Sometime later, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, Hammedatha the Agagite's son, by promoting him above all the officials who worked with him. All the royal workers at the king's gate would kneel and bow face down to Haman because the king had so ordered, but Mordecai didn't kneel or bow down. So the royal workers at the king's gate said to Mordecai, "Why don't you obey the king's order?" Day after day they questioned him, but he paid no attention to him. So they let Haman know about it just to see whether or not Mordecai's words would hold true. He had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman himself saw that Mordecai didn't kneel or bow down to him, he became very angry. But he decided not to kill only Mordecai, for people had told him Mordecai's race. Instead, he planned to wipe out all the Jews, Mordecai's people, throughout the whole kingdom of Assyrius. So in the first month, on the 13th day, royal scribes were summoned to write down everything that Haman ordered. The orders were for the king's rulers and the governors in charge of each province, as well as for the officials of each people. They wrote in the name of King Assyrius and sealed the order with the king's royal ring. Fast runners were to take the order to all provinces of the king. The order commanded people to wipe out, kill, and destroy all the Jews, both young and old, even women and little children. This was to happen on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month, that is, the month of Adar. They were also to seize their property. A copy of the order was to become law in each province and to be posted in public for all people to read. The people were to be ready for this day to as the order commanded. Driven by the king's order, the runners left Susa just as the law became public in the fortified part of Susa. While the king and Haman sat down to have a drink, the city of Susa was in total shock. Our second lesson this week comes from the book of Esther, chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. When Mordecai learned what had been done, he tore his clothes, dressed in mourning clothes, and put ashes on his head. Then he went out into the heart of the city and cried out loudly and bitterly. He went only as far as the king's gate, because it was against the law for anyone to pass through it wearing mourning clothes. At the same time, in every province and place where the king's order and his new law arrived, a great sadness came over the Jews. They gave up eating and spent whole days weeping and crying out loudly in pain. Many Jews lay on the ground in mourning clothes and ashes. When Esther's female servants and eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, the queen's whole body showed how upset she was. She sent every day clothes for Mordecai to wear instead of mourning clothes, but he rejected them. Esther then sent for Hatak, one of the royal eunuchs whose job it was to wait on her. She ordered him to go to Mordecai and find out what was going on and why he was acting this way. Hatak went out to Mordecai to the city square in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him. He spelled out the exact amount of silver that Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury. It was in exchange for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave Hatak a copy of the law made public in Susa concerning the Jews' destruction, so that Hatak could show it to Esther and report it to her. Through him, Mordecai ordered her to go to the king and seek his kindness and his help for her people. Hatak came back and told Esther what Mordecai had said. In reply, Esther ordered Hatak to tell Mordecai, "All the king's officials and the people in his provinces know that there's a single law in a case like this. Any man or woman who comes to the king in the inner courtyard without being called is to be put to death. Only the person to whom the king holds out his gold scepter may live. In my case, I haven't been called to come to the king for the past 30 days. When they told Mordecai Esther's words, he had them respond to Esther, "Don't think that for one minute, unlike all the other Jews, you'll come out of this alive simply because you are in the palace. In fact, if you don't speak up at this very important time, relief and rescue will appear for the Jews from another place, but you and your family will die. But who knows? Maybe it was for a moment like this that you came to be part of the royal family." Esther sent this word to Mordecai. "Go, gather all the Jews who are in Susa and tell them to give up eating to help me be brave. They are to eat or drink for 3 whole days, and I myself will do the same, along with my female servants. Then, even though it's against the law, I will go to the king, and if I am to die, then die I will." So Mordecai left where he was and did exactly what Esther had ordered him. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Sometimes things have to be set up just right in order for us to make sense of them. And like any good story, Any good movie, any good book, any good TV show that keeps us wanting more, Esther does that. Each week we've gotten more and more of the picture. We've gotten characters and plot lines set up and established, and now we're starting to maybe see a frame of how it all comes together. My grandmother loves to do puzzles, and she had us do them with her for, you know, family occasions, holidays. When we were growing up, there'd always be a table with a puzzle. But learning to puzzle was very difficult, because when I was a kid, you know, you do a puzzle and you would have like 6 pieces, right? So it was pretty easy once you kind of figured out how the puzzle looked and there were 6 big pieces. But then it began to get harder. You know, you get a puzzle that had 20 pieces, and then you get a puzzle that had 50 pieces, and then 100, and then 500, and then 1,000. And then, you know, you get these progressively bigger and bigger puzzles, and it becomes more and more difficult as you get these bigger and more complicated puzzles to figure out how they all function. Because some of them have lots of sky and things, and some of you are like, yes, I know. So often what, you know, you have to do is kind of come up with a way to make sense of this rather complicated puzzle. And one of the things that we have to often do, and this is something I was taught, was A, have all your pieces face up. B, you know, work on getting your frame assembled. Get the frame of the puzzle assembled. Usually one of the easier things to do, because it's got one edge that you know means it's the outside. And then 3, also while you're doing that, if you find pieces that somehow you just kind of find them and they go together, whether it's 2 pieces or 3 pieces or 8 pieces, you put them together and then leave them in little spots. That way you already have them assembled while you're working on your frame. And so this is something that I kind of learned growing up. So too do we see this happening in the book of Esther. We see this happening with her life, and we see this happening with Mordecai and everything going on. That there are pieces of the puzzle being put together, and the way that Esther was raised and who she is now starting to reveal itself. As we know, Mordecai reminded Esther, told her, don't tell anybody about your heritage, and we're going to see next week why that's important as we continue to build our puzzle. But we also are aware of the fact that we can now start to see more of the picture. We've got our frame put together. We have a woman who gets deposed from her thing for opposing the king, no longer is the queen, and a new woman comes into power, chosen by the king, and that is Esther. And yet Esther has this background, that is, she is Jewish, and her uncle says, don't tell anybody, and so now we start to see, hey, now there's this guy, and he has an axe to grind with Mordecai, who we remember from last week saved the king when it mattered most, saved him from a plot against his life. And so Mordecai, Haman has an axe to grind against Mordecai, and he uses that as leverage to get the king to go, hey, I'll give you a bunch of money, and then you give me a decree that we can make this happen. And the king's like, I don't know any of those people. Sure, why not? And so here we find ourselves. And it's very tough to learn to puzzle, because it requires a lot of patience, and yet, like anything that's good, it also sets us up with a good attitude of expectation and accomplishment when it's finished. And so will this story do that for us, but we're not there yet. But what does this mean for us as Christians, this story? What can we learn from this? The first is the importance of not ever rushing to conclusions. Haman comes in, I don't like this guy, he's not bowing. Haman doesn't know anything about Mordecai, doesn't look into his background and go, oh, this guy saved the king's life, kind of a big deal. He just goes, I don't like him. Let's find out a way to get rid of him. Let's get rid of all of his people. He's very vindictive. But it also shows for us that there are levels of privilege that can shield us, no matter who we are, from what's really going on. Esther shows us this week, because she doesn't know about any of this. She doesn't know about the decree. She doesn't know about the edict. She doesn't know about her uncle's mourning until somebody points out, like, he's out there crying. She keeps sending him clothes, but only when he tells the eunuch she sent, this is what happened, here's a copy of it, give it to her, does she finally hear about this grand plan and decree. She lives in a bubble of privilege, and she says, it won't affect me, I'm the queen. But we've already seen that the queen is vulnerable because the queen serves at the behest of the king, and if the king says this is the way it is, then that's what happens to the queen. Vashti sets that up for us. And so we get a glimpse of Esther trying to be like, well, I'm the queen, though. And Mordecai says, even you, it does not matter that you are the queen, even you will be taken down by this thing. Privilege is all around us. It's something all of us have to one degree or another. But it's something that we must recognize. If we live in a place where we say, this won't affect me because X, Y, Z, we must recognize that we are all connected and we all have one common lineage and all of us are of the same family. And so regardless of any differences of skin color or religion or anything of that nature, we're all connected. And to say that persecution here won't affect me here, or to say that hardship and sickness here won't affect me here, is to not fully grasp the gravity of where we find ourselves. Privilege would have us shield ourselves and say it can't and won't affect me, which is what Esther is trying to do. But as her uncle tells her, it does not matter who she is, it will still have consequences on her and her life. And so Esther's response is to then engage her faith and to say, I am going to pray about this. You pray and give me strength, and I will stand up on behalf of our people. I will use the position and the privilege that I have to draw attention to this injustice that it would stop. Sometimes this means giving voice to somebody else to say, I have something to say. And then saying, but I'm going to let this person speak now that I have your attention. Because often there are people who get drowned out for a variety of reasons and dismissed and ignored. And so sometimes we use our privilege to draw attention to ourselves and then say, but look, here's someone saying what I was saying, but from their own experience. They can tell you the story themselves. We can use our privilege in so many different ways. But we cannot use our privilege to shield ourselves from the ultimate reality that we are all connected. And Mordecai's proclamation to Esther that their Jewish salvation will come from somewhere else. He's obviously talking about God. But that Esther, if she does nothing, will not be saved from this, but also that she will be outside of that because she will have had the privilege and the potential and have done nothing. That inaction leads to a moral failing when the rubber meets the road. And so we too must recognize that our own inaction, our own saying, it doesn't affect me, I don't have to do anything about it because it's not me, is not how this works. That when we see injustice, evil, or oppression in any form, we are called to stand up against it. For some of us, it may take some work because we have not even yet begun putting the frame of the puzzle together. We just have a big smattering of pieces. For some of us, we've got the frame, but we still don't have the full picture of the puzzle. Some of us have the frame and some clumps of pieces, and then some of us have half and three quarters, though I don't know if any of us have the full puzzle put together. But all of us must recognize that there are puzzle pieces that are linking together, that link all of us together, and we're all at different stages of puzzling, but the reality that stands is that there is things happening that we could lend our voice to. There is injustice we could speak up about. There is oppression we could stand against. There are people who are trying to say things that do not get any platform, who we could give platform to if we would only use where we find ourselves. For such a time as this, we have been equipped and gifted in some capacity, but how we use that remains up to us. It is difficult to put these puzzles together, but the end result will be a beautiful picture. And all of us have a part to play in the puzzle that is the kingdom of God, but how we play that part and who we are when we live into that piece of the puzzle we are ultimately is up to us. The gift that God gave us of grace and love and free will and decision making is a double-edged sword. Because like Esther, we find ourselves in a moment where we ask, should I do this Or should I do this? Should I follow the morals and the right path? Or should I stick with comfort and easiness and privilege? It's hard putting the puzzle together because sometimes we don't like the picture that we see, but it's not something we can avoid doing. Because all of us are in this with and for one another. Amen. Ourselves now in our service of offertory. I know that we cannot be here to physically place our offerings on the altar before God, but we know that God is with us wherever we find ourselves. And so too, we can offer ourselves, our gifts, our service, our witness, our faith to God, wherever we may be. We are a journeying exile people, and we know that God is with us, whether we are on the road to Emmaus, the road to Giant Eagle, the road to Walmart, the road to the library, or simply at home. God is with us, and so we can offer ourselves to the Lord wherever we may be. Let us now have a moment of silence as we offer up our tithes, our gifts, our offerings, and ourselves to God. And now let us join in our doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, He and below. Praise for the Son and Holy Ghost.
Would you join me in our unison prayer? O God, we recognize that we have been blessed with great abundance In offering these gifts, may we be strengthened to proclaim your faithfulness and your salvation this day and always. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. As you prepare to go back out into the world, may you know that God is with you in the most trying circumstances, and that prayer will shore you up, and that community will have your back, just as Esther was supported and prayed for by her community in a time of dire need. So may you have the courage to know that God is with you, and may you have the ability to stand up for what is right in the face of what is wrong, knowing that God is on your side. Amen.
Thank you.